I hope your batteries are not dying, amen? Let's recharge them with Jesus all every day, amen? There you go, we're back on. Happy Sabbath. There you go, that woke you up, didn't it? Alright, I want to ask three favors from you. Can you grant me those three favors? Say amen. Alright, half of this room was going to grant me those three. If you're going to grant them to me, say amen. Alright, thank you. Some people are like, well, I don't know what you're going to ask us. You know? Exactly, yeah. The first favor I want to ask of you, that from time to time that you will pray for me. I'm not Jesus, and so I cannot speak perfect truth, but God can, amen? And the Bible gives us a promise that when we stand here as human vessels, that God can fill us with His Holy Spirit, amen? And so from time to time, I want you to pray for me and say, Lord, this is a prayer I want you to do. I say, just say, Lord, I want you to put your words into His mouth. That's all you have to pray for. I want you to stand, but I just want you in your own mind, just from time to time, to say, Lord, please put your words in His mouth. Can you guys grant me that favor? All right, favor number two, I want you to stay with me, stay focused, don't fall asleep, and if you see somebody, this is the third favor I want you to do, is if you see somebody sleeping, I want you to just lean over really nicely, casually, and I want you just to bump them a little bit so they can wake up. You know, it's so funny, whenever God has a special truth for us, it always seems that we begin to fall asleep, isn't it? It only takes a little bit, my brothers and my sisters, to mess the kingdom. See, in the Bible, we have many examples where Jesus said unto different men, when they came and said, how can I obtain the kingdom of heaven? Jesus said, you're not far from it. See, Jesus said to them, you're not what? Far. You're not there yet, but you're not far. Ellen White tells us in the book, Steps to Christ, that one sin cherished continually upon the heart has the power to neutralize the whole gospel. So let's ask God to take everything away from us. So let's try to stay awake, amen? I'll try to finish as fast as I can. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 17, and we're going to begin reading with verse 11. It is my personal conviction, Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through verse 19, but it's my personal conviction that the greatest thing that can ever happen to a Christian in a Christian life is to become like Jesus. The greatest thing that can ever, it is my personal conviction that the greatest thing that can happen to a Christian, to you, my sister, to you, my brother, to me personally, in our personal lives, is to become like Jesus. Amen? And that is the work that Jesus wants to accomplish in our lives before He comes. Amen? The Bible tells us in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 18, but we all, like in a veil, let's turn there, 2 Corinthians, hold your finger in Luke chapter 17, and let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and beginning with verse 18. And this is what I'm talking about. God wants to accomplish this very work, putting Jesus' character in our lives. The greatest thing that can ever happen to a Christian. But we all, with unveiled faces, isn't that beautiful? No cover, face to face with Jesus. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just by the Spirit of who? The Spirit of the Lord. From glory to glory, we are being changed. And that's what God, that is the work that Jesus came to do here upon this earth. Not only did He come to die for our sins, but He has come to put His character in our lives. How many of you say amen to that? The title of our sermon is Something More Than an Outer Appearance. The Bible tells us in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verses 1 and onward through verse 5, it gives us a list of how the world is going to look like in the end times. Paul tells us, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. And then he goes on giving us a list of things to watch for. In the last days, perilous things will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, boasters, blasphemers, unthankful to parents, unloving, unkind, unforgiving. And the Bible continues giving us a list of things that the world is going to have. But unfortunately, Paul is not only speaking about the condition of the world in the last days, but he was speaking specifically of the condition of the church in the last days. Verse 5 says, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power from within. Something more than an outward appearance. See, in the last days there will be many people who will look like Christians. And the Bible tells us that they will come to Jesus in the last days when Jesus has come, and they will say unto him, Jesus, how have we done this? How have we prophesied in your name? How have we cast out demons? Jesus will say unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye evildoers of iniquity. And that, those are the saddest words that will ever fall upon men's ears. And I hope that none of us here present this morning will hear those words. But in order for us not to hear those words, we need to look for something more, my brothers and my sisters, than just an outward appearance of Christianity. Something more than an outward appearance. Let's go back to the book of Luke. Let's see if you can beat me there. Luke chapter 17. And when you're there, let me say amen. Luke 17, beginning with verse 11. We're going to read the story. Everybody is familiar with the story. We just read it. But we're going to dissect it, and we're going to see the lesson that God has for us this morning. Something more than an outer appearance. Now it happened, the Bible tells us in verse 11. As he went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of two cities, Samaria and Galilee. And the Bible goes on to tell us that as he entered into a certain village, there came and met him 10 men who were what? Lepers. And they stood afar off. I want to bring the first lesson to you here. Jesus is on his way to where? Jerusalem. What is going to happen to Jesus when he gets to Jerusalem? This is his last journey. He is going to be crucified. He is going to be taken to the cross. He is going to pay the penalty for sin. He is going to Gethsemane. And then after Gethsemane, he is going to go to Calvary. But where is Jesus' mind in all this? Is his mind focused on Calvary and his pain that he's going to suffer? Is he preparing himself for that? He's saying, don't bother me. Don't do anything. This last journey, I want to prepare my heart, my soul, and everything. Be ready for my test. Is his mind there? Where is his mind? Where? On people. My question to you this morning is, where is our mind? Where is our desires? Is our desires and our minds in this world accumulating wealth? Or is our mind somewhere else? I hope that our mind is on others. On the desire for souls, my brothers and my sisters. For the people, for the closest to us, not to be lost. Amen? I hope that that is where our mind is. The Bible tells us, let this mind be in you, which was also in who? Christ Jesus. So the same mind that Jesus had is the same mind that we need to ask for. Now, to be honest with you, I don't think I have that mind. I don't think I have that passion for souls. But you know what my prayer is? Lord, please give me that mind. Please give me that passion for souls. The same passion that you had for souls, let me have that passion. How many of you want to say that too? I know I do personally. I want to say, Lord, please help me to be more loving, more patient. Don't you want to have the same mind of Jesus? Amen. Amen. Let's go to verse 12. We know that there, as he entered into a certain city, came and met him 10 men. But the Bible is very specific. Not only were they regular men, but the Bible tells us that they were what? Lepers. What did leprosy represented in the Bible? Represented sin. When people looked at lepers, they looked at them as if they were being punished for their sins. That's why they were considered lepers. That's why they were cast out of the city, because they didn't want to partake of their sins. And so they looked at them, they were rejects. And that's why the Bible tells us that they stood what? Afar off. They couldn't even come close to the village because they could get stoned if they came near to the village. They didn't want any part of that. They were outcasts. They had no friends. They had no one to touch them or to hug them or to tell them that they were being loved. Even their family members rejected them. How many of you have ever felt like that, alone? How many of you have ever felt like that? Anybody? How many of you ever felt like an outcast? Like you have no one there. Like everybody has turned your back on you. Even your own family, the closest ones, have turned your back on you. Let me tell you something. Jesus is always there. I was expecting a hard amen, but that's okay. The woman who was caught in adultery was brought before the feet of Jesus. She felt like she was a sinner. She felt like she deserved death. But when she felt the farthest away from Jesus, that's when Jesus was the closest to what? To her. That's what Jesus wants us to realize today. My brothers and my sisters, these 10 lepers are no different than we today. We are all under the same condemnation. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Look at what Job tells us. Job chapter 14, let's turn there. Let's see if you can beat me. It's a race. Job chapter 14, as we continue something more than an hour appearance of Christianity. Something more than an hour appearance. Job chapter 14 and verse 4. When you're there, let me hear you say amen. Are you guys with me? All right, let's read it. Who can bring a clean thing out of the what? And who can bring a clean thing out of the unclean? And the Bible says what? No one. Well, I know someone who can. Jesus. Jesus can take your life and my life, no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, and He can change us. He can transform us. Look at what also the Bible tells us in Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 23. Jeremiah 13, I'm going to make you use your Bible this morning. Amen to that. Jeremiah chapter 13 and verse 23. And when you're there, let me hear you say amen. A lot of us are familiar with this text. The Bible says, can the Ethiopian change his what? His skin? Or can the leper his spots? Then how you also who are accustomed of doing what? Evil can do what? God. The Bible is very clear, my brothers and my sisters. We have no hope other than Jesus. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Amen. We look, we keep putting our focus, we keep putting our faith in politicians, we keep putting our faith in men, but the answer is not found in any of those things. Some people put their focus in money, wealth, education, whatever you think of that the world is looking for an answer in. My brothers and my sisters, there is no other answer than Jesus. Jesus is the answer for any problem. And it sounds so elementary, doesn't it? And we've heard it many times. But you know when it comes real to our lives? When we begin practicing it in our own lives. Is Jesus all in all in your life? You don't have to answer. Let's go back to Luke chapter 17 as we continue. They lifted up their voices in verse 13. Chapter 17 of Luke and verse 13. They lifted up their voices and they cried out, Master, have mercy on what? Have mercy on us. I don't have to spend a lot of time in that verse. What is mercy, by the way? What's another word for mercy? Grace? Compassion? Pity? That's the one I was looking for. Favor? Master, please, have pity on us. Have compassion. So when Jesus saw them, the Bible says that he said unto them, I want you to pay attention to this. This is one of the most powerful verses that I love in the Bible. Jesus saw them, and he said unto them, go and show yourselves unto the priest. And the Bible says that as I went, 10 weeks later, they were cleansed. Come on, correct me, anybody. That as they went, the Bible says, they were cleansed. That's okay. I was expecting a higher amen for that one too. Don't make it a habit. My brothers and my sisters, what does this verse mean? If this verse doesn't change your Christian experience, I don't know what will. There is power within God's word that when the lepers obeyed the word of Jesus Christ, that they were cleansed, the Bible says, immediately. It didn't take a year, 2 years, 3 years. The Bible says that immediately the Bible gives us the answer, the equation, very simple. Their faith had to act upon what? Anybody? Upon his word. The faith of the lepers. See, what about if the lepers just stood there and say, oh, I ain't going nowhere until I'm cleansed, Jesus. I'm not going anywhere. Until I see my hand being cleansed, then I'll go somewhere. How many of us say something like that, you know? Until I say some great miracle that Jesus will perform in my life, then I'll follow him. Then I'll give my life completely to him. But the Bible says that they had to act by what? By faith. They have to look. They have to move. And I bet you that for a couple of steps, they were not cleansed. They were not left, you know, and they were walking. And they were keep asking themselves, like, well, it's different of what we heard. Because last time that some leper came to Jesus, Jesus healed them immediately. But why is Jesus asking us that we should go first, and then we will be cleansed? Jesus didn't even say they were going to be cleansed with. Jesus just said what? Go and show yourselves unto the priest. As they went, they were cleansed. But the Bible tells us a sad story. That out of the 10, how many came back? One. When the other 9 looked, and they were like, oh my goodness, we're cleansed. They kept on what? They kept on walking. They didn't turn back. They went on their own lives because all they were looking for was just to look like they were what? Cleansed. That's all they were looking for. I look clean. That's it. But there was one, my brothers and my sisters, that was looking for something more than just an outer appearance of Christianity. He was looking for a heart change experience. He was looking for his life to be changed, not only outwardly, but inwardly. And I hope that that's your desire. I hope that that's your desire for your own personal Christian experience. That you're looking for something more than just looking like a Christian, but that your heart will be changed by the power and the love of Jesus Christ in his word. This man was a what? A Samaritan. Now the Bible doesn't tell us what denomination or what religion were the other 9. But I go to assume that at least these people were believers in God, weren't they? Yes or no? Do you think that? Absolutely. They wouldn't have gone to Jesus if they were believers. They were believers, but they were just looking for something superficial. Their experience only went thus far. And I hope that all of us that are present this morning, our experience will not be something like that. That we will ask God for something more in our personal lives. The Bible ends in verse 19. And this is where I will end. Verse 19. Jesus said unto this man, what? Go your way. Your faith has made you what? Whole. Another word for whole is what? Complete. And another word that we are all afraid of. Perfect. Jesus said, your faith has made you what? Whole. Complete. See, Christianity is not just about the outer appearance. How we dress. What we eat. How we look. But it goes deeper than that. It goes deeper. I'm not saying that all the other things are not important, are they? The Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, yet loses his what? His soul. Let's look for something more deeper, amen? Let's look for something more than just an outer appearance. Let's look for the heart change experience, amen? Jesus wants to change our hearts. Jesus wants to change our desires, our wants, our needs. The book Steps to Christ says this. The things that we want hated, we now love. And the things that we once loved, now we hate. Why? Because Jesus has worked in our hearts. And He changes our desires. Amen? That is the work that Jesus wants to do in your life and in my life. I'll finish with this quote. It's from my favorite book. If you're taking notes, it's Education, page 57. Education, page 57. I want you to listen to it. The greatest one of the world is the one of men. Men and women who will not be bought nor sold. Men who in their most souls are truth and honest. Men and women who do not fear to call sin by its right name. Men and women who are true to the duty as the needle is to the pole. Men and women whose conscience is as true to the duty as the needle is to the pole. Men and women who will stand though the heavens fall. My greatest desire, my brothers and my sisters, is that we will ask Jesus to put that type of character in our life. We will not be afraid to call sin by his right. You know, society today is afraid of calling sin by his right name. Adultery is no longer called adultery. It's called multi-friendly. Oh, I'm not a comedian. I'm just multi-friendly. My brothers and my sisters, we have a lot of acronyms for things that God has called sin. And society is beginning to what? Accept those things. And saying, it's okay. But we need to stand though the heavens fall. And I hope that we are true to duty as the needle is to the pole. I hope that none of us are broken compasses. I hope that. How many of you want to say that? Lord, please put that character in my life. Raise your hand. If your hand is raised, please stand with me as we finish. Make sure that you're standing up, not because I told you to, but because you're making this conscious choice that you're saying, Lord, please help me to have a deeper experience with you. If my spiritual ground is right here, Lord, take me to higher ground. Amen? Higher ground. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for bringing us here this morning. Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit will come into our hearts and will begin to lead us to higher ground. Lord, help us not just to look for just an outward appearance of just Christianity, but help us to look for something deeper, something more. A higher relationship with you, Lord. A more deeper, more intimate relationship with you. Lord, we ask all these things, not because of our own merits, but because of Jesus Christ who died on the cross, not only to die for our sins, but to set us free from them. We thank you and we praise you. Help us to trust your word as our prayer in Jesus' name. Let everyone say amen and amen. Let's close our service with hymn number 330. Let's sing the first and the last stanza of hymn number 330. 330. Let's just sing the first stanza, 330. Take my life and let it be. Let this be your prayer, amen.